Hello and welcome to another edition of Sunday in Review. This is Pastor Chris. Here's what happened at Living Hope Baptist Church in Geneva, New York on Sunday, December 15th, 2019. This is the third Sunday of Advent, and here's what we did during that day. We started with Sunday school as usual. We had our word of our day to start our day off. The word was sud, S-U-D-D, sud. And there were many different guesses, but none of them actually hit it correctly. The correct answer was, it's a noun, an area of floating vegetation that impedes navigation in a stretch of the White Nile. It's one of the tributaries to the Nile River. And so the word is sud, an area of floating vegetation on the White Nile. After that, we had some more important stuff as we moved into church trivia. And the church trivia question of the day, the trivia where trivia is not trivial, the question was this. This American missionary was one of the first two bishops of the Methodist Episcopal Church in the United States. During his 45 years in the colonies and the newly independent United States, he devoted his life to ministry, traveling on horseback and carriage thousands of miles. Who was he? And your choices were, number one, George Whitefield, number two, Charles Wesley, number three, John Wesley, and number four, Francis Asbury. And the correct answer was, drum roll please, okay, it was Francis Asbury. Asbury was one of the first two bishops of the Methodist Episcopal Church in the United States. And there is now a seminary named after him, Asbury Seminary. After that, we had our case study, and our case study evoked a great deal of discussion, actually filled up the rest of our time. We didn't even get to the book of Revelation. So next week, we will be starting with the book of Revelation. But the case study this week was an interesting one. It went this way. Your new Christian friend, her name is Betty, is overwhelmed by the number of different churches, and she is unsure why there are so many different denominations. She asks your opinion on why there are so many, and she asks how you suggest she pick one to attend. What biblical advice will you offer? So the question was one really of why are there so many denominations and how can one choose between denominations? As we discussed it, we came to the conviction that there are issues of faith that are primary, perhaps, and secondary. Primary ones are the ones that we would be willing to divide ecclesiologically or by churches. We would be willing to separate from others over. An example of this would be the deity of Christ. We are Trinitarian. We believe that Christ is God the Son, and we believe he is part of the Godhead. And so we would divide, for instance, from the Jehovah's Witnesses. We would not identify with them and call them a church. Then we identified other things, the Reformation, affirmation of grace, salvation by grace alone through faith, and the supremacy of the authority of the Word of God. These are two things that we would hold closely, and we would be willing to separate from others who would say, well, salvation is a matter of grace plus works. And we say, no, it's of grace alone. The works matter because works are the manifestation of grace, but they are not the means ever by which one is saved. But then there are other things that we considered minor, issues such as style of worship, perhaps the mode of baptism, perhaps even the timing of baptism would not be something that we would necessarily immediately separate from, we would discuss and talk about. But in the course of church history, of course, as people have recognized that there are times that we must separate, there have been different groups. And we have talked about that and said, well, realize that as those different groups emerged, they must have been known by some name or other. Now, in the Bible, Paul even talks about this in 1 Corinthians. When he talks about the Lord's Supper, he says that there will be factions among you, but these arise to show which one ultimately will be proved to be the right one of the Lord. And also we acknowledge the Scripture teaches that as the time would go on, before the rapture, false prophets would emerge and would create churches and have followers and become false teachers amongst us. So if the Lord's words are true, and we know they are, we can assume that there are churches out there that are not preaching the gospel as they ought to be. And so we would divide from them. the question of denominations is really a question of identification. How do you know what you're getting? A friend of mine reminded me when he said something like this. He said, how would you know if you were driving down the street if you saw a McDonald's or a Burger King across the street? You would know, not by the restaurant, but by the sign, what the menu would have. So if you were in the mood for a Whopper, you would know you wouldn't go to McDonald's, you'd go to Burger King. If you're in the mood for a Big Mac, you'd go to McDonald's and not to Burger King. In the same way, as you go down the street, if you see two houses of worship, if there is no identifying sign or nomenclature on the outside, you will be unaware of what goes on inside. And then you are forced to go in and talk to the people and by trial and error find out what's going on. But if you see the word Baptist, for instance, on the sign, then it is reasonable to assume that that church would hold to a certain group of Baptistic distinctives or ideas. Unfortunately, of course, that's not always the case. That's in an ideal world. But at least that's getting at, I think, the heart of why we have these different denominations. The question of where to send this friend Betty as a new believer can be answered in many different ways. One is to point her to the way you think is correct at the time. That's an obvious. But my wife had a good point, and she referenced my salvation. I became a Christian at 21, and by the time I was free to start looking for a church a few months later, I had already read through the New Testament, and I had the privilege of looking for a church that matched, as best I could estimate, what I read in the New Testament. And I found that church. I was very happy with it. I found a wonderful church in Ohio that preached the gospel and seemed to model this New Testament church. And it happened to be a Baptist church. And that is how I particularly fell among the Baptists. And I understand people's experiences are different. But ultimately, we must all be settled in our own conscience. And we must read and allow God's word to penetrate our minds so that we can make a godly decision, one that pleases him. Now, next week, that ended our Sunday school, by the way, that discussion, because it went on quite a while. But next week, as I said, we will be starting with Revelation chapter 8. We will be talking about the meaning of Revelation chapter 8. I also challenge folks who attend to try to map out on paper a quick chronology of chapters 1 through 8, so they can be able to say, this is what happened in Revelation 1, this is what happens in chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down, so that they have a thorough understanding. All right, well then after that, we turn to our time of worship. We began at 10:45, as usual, and we began with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Born that man, no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Great hymn. After that, we had our welcome and then a call to worship from Psalm 47, verses 1 and 2. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. Amen. After that, we had How Great Our Joy, one of the older hymns, while shepherds watch their flocks. Then we turn to a reading from the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 40 as a whole is an amazing chapter, but Isaiah 40, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's an incredible prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40, and points us, of course, towards John the Baptist and the arrival of Jesus, the King of the Jews. We sang then, We Three Kings of Orion Are, and then Silent Night, before having our New Testament scripture reading, which was from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Then we lit our Advent calendar, our Advent candle, and we dismissed the children's for Children's Church and enjoyed a time of prayer. In our morning message, we used as our springboard this week, Santa Claus Comes to Town, and particularly focused on the part in the middle where Kris Kringle goes out to bring toys to the city that cannot get toys, Somber Town. And he is impeded on his way by the evil magician, the Winter Warlock. And the Winter Warlock has some monsters in cahoots with him. They are the tree monsters, and they grab Kris Kringle by their limbs and hold him. And the Winter Warlock says, I'm going to destroy you. You know, you've bothered me for the last time, Kris Kringle. And Kris stops and says, excuse me, Mr. Warlock. Well, Winter. He says, Winter and Mr. I'm Mr. Warlock. Anyways, and Kris says, hold on. I would like to give you a present. And Warlock says, a present? Nobody ever gives Mr. Winter Warlock a present. And Kris says, well, I'd like to start a new tradition. And he gives him a gift, a choo-choo train. And the Winter Warlock takes this train and he holds it. And as you watch, he melts and becomes a soft and gentle Mr. Winter Warlock, who now no longer wants to be known as Mr. Warlock, but now wants to be known as simply Winter. Then they go into the song. Winter Warlock says to Kris, he says, oh, but how do I know it will last? How do I know this change will last? How can I be a better person? And Kris says to him, well, that's easy. All you have to do is, and he starts singing this song, put one foot in front of the other. And he says, as soon as you do that, you'll be walking out the door. And it shows in that long song going on about how they can change, how people can change. Well, that's the springboard for this week's sermon. It was, to a world that rejected him, came one who would give the gift of abundant life, that is, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 21 says this, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, this is Paul the Apostle speaking, of course. He says, yet now we know him thus no longer. He says, therefore, though, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, not just to the apostles, but to all of us. Reference the Great Commission. We have all been given the good news about Jesus Christ to share with others. Now then, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, as we think about Kris Kringle in this story, he comes to Sombertown to give gifts. The next step is he's captured and threatened, and then he gives a toy, and then he teaches and encourages. The Winter Warlock, on the other hand, opposed him, and he raged against him. But then this marvelous change occurs when Kris gives him the gift, and Winter receives the gift. And then he continues by learning and continuing to change. Well, when we think of Jesus Christ, we remember that indeed he came to the world that he created. John 1:10 says this, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He was also, though, rejected and persecuted. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, John 1:11. He gave himself, Galatians 2:20, and the life which I now live, Paul says, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then he taught and encouraged. Even as we read in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus speaking to the disciples, but then also giving them then the messages to continue teaching. You are the branches, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And for us, well, he came to the world he created. He rejected, the world rejected and persecuted. Well, we did that as well. We were opposed to him. We raged against him. The way the Bible talks of it is that we were born dead in our sins and trespasses in Ephesians 2. It says there that we were by nature children of wrath, just as others, Gentiles and Jews were. Not only that, it says in Romans 5 that we were still sinners when Christ died for us, a demonstration of God's great love. We were enemies against God. Wow. And all I can say is probably Kris Kringle saying, you're on the naughty list. Now, the amazing thing is different here Chris Kingle watches to see who's good and bad, right? Well, in the spiritual realm, in the world of reality, with Christ, we all have been naughty. We all need to change. But he gave himself, and then John says in verse chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. See, they accepted the gift. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In other words, to those who are born again. And then he continues to teach and encourage us as we learn and walk in newness of life. There's a verse we use sometimes during baptism services. Romans 6, in my opinion, does not have water in it, but it's a baptism of the Spirit, a spiritual immersion. And we sometimes refer to it, though, when we speak of water baptism, because we remind people, just as they come out, they should walk in newness of life, having come out of the water. So now that we have been spiritually immersed in Christ, we should live in newness of life. Romans 6, 4 says this, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Or as Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Or at Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, because Jesus came to give himself, you and I, we can have an abundant life. Jesus says this, he says, I am the door. Remember the door Chris and Born to Warlock walked through? Well, he says, I am the door. Jesus is the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I, Jesus says, have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Well, the beauty of this is because Jesus came to give himself. You and I, we can live lives of joy and purpose. I hope this Advent season you have experienced life through Jesus Christ. I hope you are rejoicing in him. I encourage you, if you're a believer, to know that you can change. You can let go of the acts of darkness. You can let go of the darkness. We all fight against it, but now we have the Holy Spirit's help to overcome. And my prayer for you is that you will be victorious. We all stumble, but we must pick ourselves up and move forward for God's glory. And that brought our message to an end. Well, after that, we sang Joy to the World, and then we had our benediction. Interesting benediction this week came from Psalm 5, verse 11. It said this, let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Amen. Well, I'm going to leave it there. We did have Sunday evening family Bible hour. We had youth group as usual in the evening, and both were a great blessing. Just remind you that next week in the evening for youth group, we will be having a youth group Christmas party from 7 till 9. Games and fun and a small gift exchange. If your teens are coming, don't forget, any gift, $5 and below. And it's going to be a great time. So they are more than welcome to invite their friends. I hope the Lord blesses you richly during this week of Advent. God bless.